The claw of shame comes for Singapore's clams.
Why mobile-addicted Indonesian children may be getting a chicken.
Unwinding Hong Kong's original sin.
Tara talks to James of Han.
Penang is doing it in the roads and in the ditch.
Welcome to the Coconuts Podcast, our look at the latest and greatest reporting from our 8 newsrooms in Southeast Asia and Hong Kong. I'm Todd Rees, and I'm the managing editor of Coconuts Bangkok.
And I'm associate editor Tara Kamaltanavith.
Hey folks, welcome to the Coconuts Podcast.
Hey guys, welcome back. Happy Friday.
Bit of a weird week in Bangkok here. It was like a bridge week. It was one of those weeks where there was a rando holiday right in the middle.
Right, but it was also a week where a lot of big things happened. I think not only in Bangkok, but all over Southeast Asia. Like our newsroom always suggests stories to like talk about on the podcast, and it was like going crazy. There's so much to talk
about. Well, it's good talk. So a bit about how the sausage is made. We reach out because Coconuts has newsrooms, and this is always the game, right? Can we remember them all? Bangkok, Yangon,
Bali,
Singapore,
Hong Kong,
Manila, KL. Did you say Jakarta?
Jakarta. There we go. Jakarta.
That's it. Yeah.
I think that's
it. Yangon. Yeah, it's 8 of them.
Right.
7 countries, 8 newsrooms. And so we reach out and we sort of ask folks to nominate, you know, what are really the burning topics in their cities. And then we look through and sort of identify certain things, reach out to people for more information, and especially for help with like
pronouncing the names and like clarifications on things, and especially if it's like a very local story.
So the show is really a team effort that draws upon all these newsrooms every week. So that's how we make the show, and you know, we source to all of our newsrooms and editors part of this process every week. But that said, we've got a lot to talk about today, so let's get to the news. Oh, what else do we have, Tara?
And later on, we'll be joined by James from Han, the English electronic music duo. He's going to be on tour in this region soon, so we got to chatting with him, asking him about his inspirations, how he met his partner Andy at a YMCA in college, and what it's like to be a world-renowned artist just traveling the world. So stay tuned for my conversation with James. What's more embarrassing than getting caught having sex in a car on a highway by cops? Well, how about trying to outrun the police only to fall into a water-filled ditch and needing to be pulled out, pun intended, by the very people you were trying to run away from, as one Malaysian couple did this weekend. So the Penang couple, both college students, had parked in the emergency lane of the highway when suspicious police pulled over to see if their car was okay. You know, because it's their job after all. But what the cop found upon closer inspection was a 19-year-old man and his 25-year-old girlfriend amidst the throes of passion. When the driver noticed that the police were present, he panicked and attempted to drive away. But the low-speed car chase ended with the couple crashing into a nearby railing, hitting a motorbiker, then ended up in a deep water-filled drainage ditch, submerging their vehicle completely. But luckily, the same cop that was chasing the couple also managed to pull them from the submerged vehicle.
Before the world took notice, months of protest in Hong Kong began during a young couple's romantic getaway to Taiwan. It was on a Valentine's trip there last year when Kan Tong Kai, as he would later tell the police, strangled his girlfriend Poon Kyu Wing, stuffed her in a suitcase, and dumped it in some bushes near a Taipei subway station. Hong Kong cited the case this past February when proposing legislation that would have allowed it to transfer suspects to Taiwan and other places it doesn't have an extradition treaty, including mainland China. That lit the fuse that ultimately ignited public fury and has consumed the city ever since. When Khan was released from custody on Wednesday, he apologized for committing an unforgivable wrong. This is my responsibility. Therefore, I'm willing to surrender myself to Taiwan because of my own impulses and mistakes, to go to trial and be sentenced in Taiwan. Though his offer to face justice in Taipei seemed ready to put a bow on the international murder saga, Taiwan rejected his offer of surrender, saying he wouldn't be allowed on the island until Hong Kong complied with its judicial procedures.
Big developments in Thailand's palace this week. 3 months after His Majesty the King revived the seemingly passé practice of polygamy, he expelled his royal consort Monday and ordered her to be stripped of all ranks and titles. Sidney Nad Wong Wat Shila Pak, or Goy, was accused of trying to prevent the king's new queen from taking her position. The king had named Goy his consort on his birthday in July, just 2 months after marrying Queen Sutida on the eve of his coronation. Goy was accused of being disobedient to both the king and the queen, and taking advantage of her position by issuing commands she said were on the king's behalf. 2 days later on Wednesday, the king fired 6 senior palace officials for unspecified, quote, evil actions. Those fired included a nurse in the bedroom guard service and an animal doctor, according to palace statements. With us for insight and analysis to these developments is Coconut's own Todd Ruiz. Todd?
Yeah, and I'm going to throw it back to Coconut's own Tara Kamalvatanavith to explain what the public reaction has been to all this news.
Well, Todd, perhaps you'd like to walk us through some of the history here.
Not really, actually, except to say that anything deemed criticism of the royal family is a crime punishable by up to 15 years in prison per offense.
Claw is our master. Claw chooses who will go and who will stay. Yes. The claw, it moves.
The Claw! Step right up, step right up. See the amazing Crab Claw. The Singaporean restaurant invited people to grab its scampering crustacean this week using a metal claw machine. For $5 Singaporean, just under $4, patrons could try their luck grasping the animals that the restaurant promised to cook for free if caught. But it was a promotional video that caught the attention of many, showing the bound crabbies flailing their little crab legs helplessly they soared through the air, clutched in the jaws, delivering them for a final fall into the prize chute. Well, that's one of those odd moments happened where even the carnivores, who are inclined to literally suck the muscle out of their legs, said, "Whoa, whoa, whoa, that's too much." Perhaps it was just too much indignity for the little crabs for them to handle. I'd say they should check out any meat factory, but that would be a digression. But the video was soon flooded with comments condemning the House of Seafood restaurant. It's fine to eat animals, but why do you need to torture the crab like that? Is there ventilation? Water? How long does the crab stay in there for? Fucking greedy businesses thinks everything can be used for entertainment, said Amber Sung. Thus, it was almost quaint that the restaurant's chief executive came out to defend the machine, saying it was designed to be pain-free. And really, it was all about educating local children about marine life. And not sure how steering a robotic claw toward a bound crab achieves that, but would give him the benefit of the doubt, at least until he said they wanted to encourage people to release the imported crabs back into the sea, though the video literally says the kitchen will cook each crab caught for free. As we go to production today, the claw had fallen silent, with an under-maintenance sign taped to its crab-tear-stained window.
Parents, are you worried that your children are spending too much time in front of screens? Well, trade that iPhone in for a state-of-the-art baby chimkin. That's right. Your kids can spend their entire days taking care of a living, breathing animal instead of on their phones, proposed an Indonesian mayor this week. The mayor of Bandung, the capital of Indonesia's West Java province, proposed a creative new way for students to battle the epidemic of mobile addiction. Major Odette M. Daniel said he plans to give each child a small chicken coop to raise the chicks. The children that can raise the biggest chickens can win a prize bicycle. Yay! Odette is planning a trial run with 30 children and 30 sub-districts. If it goes well, he may implement the program citywide. But ultimately, he also urged parents to keep a limit on their children's gadget use. Now, on to my special interview with James from Han.
Song's gonna keep you warm on a cold, cold night. So if you don't got a lover, just close your eyes and listen to Han.
The English electronic band took the world by storm when they serenaded the world with their first hit, Warm on a Cold Night, in 2014.
The duo consists of producer James Hatcher and singer Andy Clutterbuck.
5 years after first meeting at a YMCA and university, the duo has released multiple hits, including Me and You, Day One, and Location Unknown. They've toured the world and will be back in this region in November again, hitting the Philippines, Indonesia, Singapore, and more. James is calling us from his house in the UK.
Hi.
Okay, so, hi, hey. Yeah.
So, first off, where in the world are you right now?
So, I'm just at home, in East London.
So, you're just taking a break from touring. And I know that you've toured all over the world. So, what is your favorite part about touring?
My favorite part about touring. So, obviously, the shows are a big part of it. And my favourite part of that is just hearing people sing back the lyrics to your songs that you've spent so long working on.
Right.
To then go out and tour them and hear people enjoying them and singing back is like a really, really great feeling. We're like really careful with picking people that we really love working with.
Right,
so it's just great to travel around the world with people that we love hanging out with.
Yeah,
adventure. It's great.
For sure. And you've been to Southeast Asia and Thailand like several times. Was this when you first toured Southeast Asia? Was it the first time for you visiting Asia?
No, I've been to Singapore and Hong Kong before.
Okay.
It was the first time that we've had like a proper amount of time to have
enjoy
a really good look around and get to know
a
bit and try the food properly and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah. Was there anything?
We love the food and we eat lots of Asian food, but all types in London because they've got everything here. But it's always good to see what it's meant to be like.
Right. was there anything that surprised you about Asia?
I think the most unusual thing for us is how loud people sing along in places.
Oh, in concert?
Indonesia, Singapore, Malaysia, Thailand. People sing along so loudly.
Yeah.
To the point that the first time we played in Indonesia, we played our song called Coast of Love. And we play a different structure live, like we have a longer intro. So people started singing along.
Wow.
And then Andy couldn't sing loud enough to sing over the top, so that. It's a great feeling.
Right. Speaking of Andy, it's a great segue for me, actually, because I read in earlier in a previous interview that you guys met at a YMCA. Can you just, like, what is that? Can you just tell us a story about how you guys met at a gym? Did you just walk up to him and were like, yo, you write music?
Yeah, you look good. We both went to a university in a place called Guildford. It was a music university called ACM, which is the Academy of Contemporary Music.
Okay.
And the YMCA, because the university didn't have like halls of residence, so the closest place to live near the uni was YMCA.
Okay.
I just met him on the first day, queuing up to get some dinner, and we hit it off.
Yeah.
And we were kind of best mates from that point onwards.
So were you guys friends first and then like music second, or was it the music that drew you together?
It was like talking about music and realizing that we had similar interests. At the time it was Radiohead. And Tom York solo stuff. Yeah, it was within a couple of days we were really good mates, and then by the end of the week we were writing music together.
Right, that's awesome. And so on the flip side, what do you think are some challenges of being on tour?
Challenges are sleep.
The lack of
trying to sleep.
And trying
to stay healthy with that, because you just, as soon as you get a lack of sleep and you're on planes,
right,
it's so easy to get ill. So you have to really right. try and have a bit of self-control and get right. to bed. Go to the gym a bit, mm-hmm. that kind of stuff, particularly at the start when you first start touring and there's very little money, you know, you're just going to try and start making a bit of an impact.
Yeah.
Whereas you tend to do like 2 or 3 weeks of flying nearly every day.
Oh my
gosh. All the cheapest flights are at 6 in the morning. So you end up just never having any sleep. But nowadays we have like a day off every so often and get some later flights.
That's crazy. Because, like, I feel like when we imagine the life of a rock star, we imagine, like, you know, luxury, but, like the hustle is so real. And to that end, I guess. To that end, I guess, what I think is interesting is, what do you think are the most common misconceptions about Han or about you or about, like, what you have you read about you online?
I think in some places people think that we are from there. So I know a lot of people thought we were Korean.
Korean?
And they're like, what? I thought these guys were Korean.
Wow, well, that's so interesting.
Or Japanese because of the artwork and stuff.
Right.
You know, like the little logos. I think people assume we're from that part of the world.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's happening less and less.
Before we sign off, like, is there anything you would like to say to, you know, you're gonna start playing again? Is there anything new you're working on? Anything exciting you want to tell people about?
Yeah, so the shows that are coming up for this next tour, we're really excited about. There's all new like live visuals and a new stage stuff. And Andy has been doing the live visuals himself because he is unbelievably multi-talented and very unusual. Why I don't know why he's so good at it.
Right. Yeah.
It's been great to see how he's been able to do it. We're working on new music all the time and hoping to start some new music early next year and hopefully an album next year as well. But we're working on it. We can't wait to share it with you.
How did you guys get your name?
So it was and Andy was living in Tokyo for a couple of months.
Mm-hmm.
His girlfriend was working over there. Well, his now wife was working over there. And we kind of thought it would be cool to have some inspiration from Japan, seeing as that's where he was writing from.
Yeah.
And I found that word online, and we'd written about 8 songs by that point, and all of them were about our true feelings, which is what Han means, our true intentions. So we thought, that's it. That's the one.
That's incredible. And I think that's a very organic and beautiful stopping point, and that for you to, I'll let you be and enjoy the rest of your day.
Thank you very much. Well, have a great day.
You too. It was so great talking to you.
Yeah, thanks very much. You too.
Bye.
Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for tuning in.
Be sure to like and subscribe to the Coconuts Podcast wherever you get your podcasts.
Bye.
Apple Podcasts. Google.
Ushka.
I think it's pretty much everywhere now.
Yeah,
And, you know, it really helps spread the word if you write a two-word review. I'm trying to think what the love it. That's the shortest review I can think of.
Love.
Or just rad, one word.
Yeah.
Some kind of review.
Hit up with your thoughts.
Helps more people to hear the podcast, helps us, and we appreciate that. Stay tuned to coconuts.co for the updates on these stories and everything else new and fun going on. And we will see you next week.
From Coconuts, Bangkok, my name's Terica Moldavis.
And I'm Todd Reese.
Special thanks this week to our audio engineer, Indigo Manthagon, at Noise Studio, where you can record your podcasts, interviews, voiceovers, or even get your soundtracks produced.
The Coconuts Podcast is written and produced by Todd Reese and Tara Kamal-Vatanovith. Our executive producers are Byron Perry and Chad Williams.
Thank you for tuning in, and see you next week.